How about a weak Christian? Usually no one wants to admit to being a weak Christian. But Paul seemed to think there were both. Before that, I'd like to show you some pictures from our trip in China. Okay? As you know, I went, and so did Jed and Jack, and we saw our daughter, Jessica, and Nate, and the two boys, Desmond and Wesley. And so, here's the first one. This is part of the Forbidden City. That thing went on and on and on. It was so big, I couldn't believe it. And it was a little bit rainy, which made it nice because there was much less people there that day. So if we look a little drizzly, it's because of that. And this was, I'm not sure what, but it was that's the Temple of Heaven? That's not the Forbidden City? Rats. They all look alike. Yeah, okay. Are you sure? Oh, yeah, it is. Okay. All right, he's right. Thanks for pointing that out. And what's this? The Great Wall, or a great imitation. No, that was the Great Wall, and yes, we did climb it. I think that's the part we climbed. Is that right?
We're on part,
and we're looking at part. Okay. And here's the... That's very small. Well, there they are, Jesse and Nate and the boys. And then we went, they took a vacation with us, and we went 3 hours south by airplane. So that's, 1,500 miles? And it's interesting, like I said, China's all one time zone, but we went straight south. And this is what they call the Gumdrop Mountains. They're very beautiful. And there were so many, there were like 1,000 of them. You got tired of taking pictures of them, but they're very pretty. And they have it's 20 kwan, which is equal to about $3, has a picture of that. And so here's it's kind of large. So that's supposed to be it. And then we went on this cruise, because you can see there's a river there, and they kept telling us, this is where the picture was taken, or this was where the picture was taken. And so here's our daughter and our grandson, and someone said, this is where that picture was taken, but I don't know. It all looks the same to me, but it was very beautiful. Now, they have these ducks that dive down and catch fish, and their necks are constricted so they can't swallow the fish, and the fishermen take it out, and they give them a little piece of the fish. And this guy gave up fishing, and now all he does is takes his ducks around for tourists to take pictures with and give him money. So I'm sure he makes a lot more money now. And so you can see a couple of avid fishermen there with those diving ducks. Here we are on the boat. And there's Jesse and Wesley. And one of the things we did was we rode these little electric scooters everywhere. Wesley got a little too much sun on that boat, so he stayed home that day, and Jesse and the rest of us went out on these scooters and got very lost in the mountains. And then Nate would just ask the people, where are we? How do we get back? I mean, we were on gravel roads, and like, there's only one way, you know? And they were so happy to hear him speak Chinese to them, which is very good. And so, yes, I did have to walk it, but I didn't have to build it, so it was a good time. Now I want us to look into Romans as we finish up the book of Romans, and I want to look at strong and weak Christians, because it has a lot to do with what ministry is about. And like I said, no one wants to admit that they're weak. But we have to ask the question, who's strong and who's weak, right? I picked these out, and I thought, I wonder how many people actually know who these guys are. Who knows? Are there any young people who know who these people are? Is it on TV again? How do you know? It's still on TV? No, okay. Well, who's the big guy? Bluto. And who's the other guy? Popeye. And what makes Popeye strong?
Spinach.
Spinach. Must have been a mother that wrote that story. Yeah. Okay. So, Popeye doesn't look too strong right there, does he? Let's read these together. We'll periodically be reading from the scripture. And I'll read the first verse, you read the second verse, okay? Romans 14. Now accept the one who's weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. Wow. Now, that's funny. Look at that. Yeah, come into our congregation. We want you here. We'll point out everything wrong with your ideas. Who would want to join the church like that, right? Accept the one weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. Now, who's weak in the next verse? Who's weak and who's strong? What does the weak person do? Eat only vegetables. So what's the strong person do? Eats everything. Omnivore. Okay. And so this is about dietary restrictions, right? And it has to do with like the Bible laws and Leviticus, the kosher laws. What were the people of Israel forbidden to eat? Well, pork, okay. What's that? Things not kosher. For example, what? Okay, it had to have a split hoof and chew the cud, okay. But also, they were not to eat anything with the blood in it. They were not to eat things strangled because that left the blood in it. And they were not to have food sacrificed to idols, right? And now, Paul doesn't really mention that by name here, but he does in another place in 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10. So he's talking about dietary restrictions. And pretty much, who's he talking about? Mostly this is going to affect the Jews. But it did also affect the Gentiles. And he speaks about this in 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10. The Gentiles who believe that meat sacrificed to the idol has some kind of power on it. And so those people were not allowed to eat it. Now, some Gentiles knew there's no power on it and they were free to eat it. But he's talking about dietary restrictions, whether it's the Jew or the Gentile. Okay, let's go to the next one. Okay, let's read this too. I'll read 3, you read 4. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. And the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So the next thing he's going to talk about are holidays, or holy days, and especially the Sabbath. And so who are strong and weak regarding holy days? Again, let's read. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord, and he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God, and he who eats not for the Lord he does not eat, and gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one of us dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. And then we could ask the question, who's the judge? Well, is it me? Is it you? Who's the judge? It's the Lord Jesus, right? He's the judge. And so we have to be careful about judging someone else's servant. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine, or judge, using a play on words, judge this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. I know and am convinced in the Lord that that nothing is unclean in itself. But to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Now that's interesting. Now it almost sounds like we have a subjective system here. To the one who thinks it's unclean. How can that be? What does he say just before that, verse 14? I know, I'm convinced that what? Everything is clean. In Mark 7, the Lord is speaking and he says, food doesn't make a person defiled. It comes in and it goes out of the body. What defiles a person is what actually comes out of his heart. Evil thoughts and evil actions. These things defile a person. And then Mark makes a parenthetical comment. He said, by doing this, the Lord Jesus declared all foods to be clean. And here Paul says, I'm convinced that nothing is unclean. Everything is clean. In 1 Corinthians 10, he quotes Psalm 24, and he says, the earth and everything in it belongs to the Lord. The fullness thereof. Everything belongs to God. Nothing belongs to idols. Nothing belongs to these other so-called gods. It's clean. So then how can, if someone thinks it's unclean, why does that make it unclean? It makes it unclean because the person thinks this: God does not want me to eat this. Is he right? No, he's wrong. But he thinks, if I eat this, I sin. And so he's eating it. What is he doing? How is he treating God? With respect? No. He's saying, it doesn't matter if I sin against God or not. It doesn't matter if I go against his will or not. He thinks it's sin. He's actually wrong. But because his heart is wrong, and we have a relationship, with God, and so his relationship is, he's not honoring God. He's not loving God. He's disrespecting God because he's doing something he thinks God says, don't do it. You understand that? And so so he's misinformed and he's sinning against his conscience. So when we think of strong Christian, we have to think of two things: a strong faith and a strong conscience. In Romans 14, he's talking about strong faith. In 1 Corinthians 8, 9, 10, he's talking about a strong conscience. What is a strong faith? A strong faith means what you believe to be true is actually true. A weak faith means what you believe to be true is not true, or it's only partially true. What's a strong conscience? It means that what you believe is from God, you actually follow. You obey those beliefs. And a weak conscience means what you believe is from God, you're not following. You're not obeying. It's like an alarm clock. A conscience is like an alarm clock. Anybody have an alarm clock? Does it have a sleep button? You ever hit it? You ever hit it twice? Ever hit it three times? What's that mean? It means you are not listening to that alarm. You've trained yourself, and so the alarm's going off. It's kind of like check engine. Anybody got a check engine light on their car? That's like a conscience, and you're going, I don't care. The alarm's going off, and you're not paying attention. So God gives us an alarm. We should pay attention. Now, if the alarm is incorrect or is set the wrong time, fix it. But don't ignore it. Now, does Paul want a church full of weak Christians? Does he want people with weak faith or weak conscience? No, he wants strong faith and strong conscience. And so we don't want people who are misinformed. We want people who are rightly informed, who know the truth, but also who follow the truth. That makes strong Christians. Okay? Now, I've tried to make a chart here, and I didn't do a very good job, but think of conscience going this way and faith going this way. And so SF means strong faith, SC means strong conscience. So you can have a strong faith and a strong conscience. That's the best thing. You can have a strong faith and a weak conscience. What's that mean? Well, first of all, what's a strong faith? He knows what's true. Strong conscience, he does it. Strong faith, he knows what's true. Weak conscience, you're not doing it. Weak faith, partially informed and partially misinformed. But he has a strong conscience. What's that mean? He obeys what he believes. Is that person a Christian? Maybe, maybe not. What was Paul before he was converted? Did he have the facts right? Some facts right, and some really 100% wrong, right? Did he have a strong conscience? Oh, yeah. Did he do what he thought he was supposed to do? With a vengeance. So he had weak faith and a very, very strong conscience. And also you can have weak faith, misinformed, and a weak conscience. Well, I don't really care. We want the upper left-hand side, okay? Strong faith, strong conscience. Now, we need to have a strong grip on the truth, okay? Does Popeye have a strong grip? He's got some big forearms, right? Yeah. He's got a strong grip. What's he? He's squeezing the can. The spinach is coming out, which is good because does the spinach do him any good in the can? No. It's got to be inside of him, right? And so the truth of God can be in our Bible. It can be on our bookshelf. And it can be in our head. But where does it have to be? In our heart. It has to be in our life, right? And so to have a strong faith, we need to know the truth. But to have a strong conscience, we have to have the truth has to have a grip on us. And the way you have you get a strong grip is you practice it. Now, what's this thing? Do you know? Anybody ever use these? Okay, here. Try it. Go ahead, try it. Can you do it? Let's see. Well, all right, you want it? Any ladies want to try it?
I try.
All right, here. You try this one. Let's see. Wow, your wife's doing it easy. Okay. Well, these guys, they did it well. Yeah, one set at 20 and one set at 90. Just to make it funny, but yeah. So we want a strong grip on the truth. And so the way we do that is we have to learn the truth, but then we have to live the truth. We have, like the song says, the only way to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. Trust and obey. But we have to be trusting the truth. We have to be well informed, and then we have to do it. And what is that? That's simply discipleship. One man said there's not any problems in the church that can't be solved by discipleship. Learning to follow Christ. Knowing the truth. And what is disciple? Make disciples. Go into all the world. Make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, immersing them in the Trinity, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And if we do that, we grow and we become like Christ. So discipleship is becoming Christ-like. It's learning how to follow Christ. It's living in the kingdom of God. It's trusting Christ as Savior, following Christ as King. That's our goal. Let's keep reading in Romans 14. Where am I? Oh, there we are. Okay. For if because of food your brother is hurt, you are no longer walking according to love. Do not destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Verse 16. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Who's going to argue with that? If we live that way, who's going to disagree with it? We're going to be approved, acceptable to God, well-pleasing to God, and approved by men. So are you strong? Are you free? Do you have Christian liberty? Yes. And Paul says over and over again in Corinthians and in Galatians and here, use your strength, use your liberty, not to indulge yourselves, but to help others. So back to Popeye. Don't beat up, but build up one another. And here's the verse out of Galatians. My brothers, you were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Back to Romans 14, verse 19. So then, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another, building up the body for one another. 20, do not tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the man who eats and gives offense. For it is good not to eat meat or to drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from sin, is not from faith. And whatever is not from faith is sin. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those who are without strength and not just please ourselves. He says, we need to walk in love. So the weak person who's misinformed about faith can sin because he can say, God doesn't want me to do it, and he does it anyways. But the strong person can also sin because he knows where his freedom is, but he uses his freedom in such a way that it injures the weaker person, the person who's misinformed. And so he's using his strength in a way that doesn't build up his brother, but tears down his brother. Now, what does it mean to tear down his brother? How does it mean, what does it mean to stumble or to be offended? These are the words, well, offense and scandalon and stumbling stone. This means not that the person is angry with you or the person thinks you're wrong. He already dealt with that. He said, don't look down on the weak brother like you're so dumb. You don't know anything. You're ignorant. And don't judge the strong brother who says and say to him, you're doing something God says no. You're disobeying God. So he already handled that at the beginning of the chapter. Don't disregard the weak and don't condemn the strong. But now he's saying that we need to be showing love in the exercise of our knowledge, in the exercise of our faith, because that is what Christ did. Christ had freedom, Christ had power, and Christ used that power not for himself, but to help other people, namely us. So, how do we prove that we're strong? We help the weak. That's how we prove that we're strong. Here's the last two verses. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself. And if we make disciples, if we demonstrate to them that we use our strength, we use our freedom to build up others, we'll see them doing the same thing. Who is this lady? Why does she have such big arms? She ate the spinach. Yeah, so she followed Popeye's example. And that's what we're told to do. Throughout this chapter, he says, Christ did not please himself, so don't be pleasing yourself. Don't be thinking what's good for you. Think what's good for the church, for others in the church. And then you'll be following Christ. You will be Christ-like. That's what discipleship is all about. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your Bible that you've given us, the words of Paul, and this letter to Romans, which gives us so much knowledge about salvation, your plan in eternity and how it affects us, what Christ has done for us, and also what changes you're making in us now through the Holy Spirit. Help us to build up the church. Help us to build up one another. Help us to grow in our own discipleship, becoming like Christ. Help us to learn the truth and be strong so that what we believe is actually true. And those things that are not true, may we renew our mind and as we study the scripture and conform our thoughts to your thoughts. But Lord, help us not to just have it thoughts in our mind. May they actually come out in our practice, how we treat one another, how we respect you and love you, and how we also reach out to the world. We want to be like Christ. We want to give glory to you. And we just thank you for this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. You have something?